This is Pure Decking, show number 573 for Thursday, August the 15th, 1979. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and popping Tylenol like their TikToks. Tonight, we have an Are You. What's up, Are You?
Well, you going to share those Tylenols around?
Yeah, sure. Let me just shove them through the line here.
Yeah. The BSV distributes candy.
Well, there's a lot of things about BSV we don't ask about. Mainly,
Madman tonight?
Yeah, apparently not. Of course, the real question is, where is BSV getting the candy?
Exactly. Why do I get such terrible diarrhea after eating it?
Why does he talk about the vans without the windows while he's doing... Anyways,
You mean the rental fleet?
It's like, yep, we always have to wash the Sharpie off the side for some reason. I don't know. It's anyways, show might be a little truncated tonight. I don't know how clear it's coming through the audio. My voice is wrecked. Anyways. I guess we'll just get going here.
Ew. Another big week for little to no fuck all stories, really.
I know it, but I don't think I have any of these that are overtly political. I don't know, the Kim.com one.
Yeah, but Kim.com's that sort of guy.
Yeah, fair enough. So this first one's from Tor Freak. Cloudflare cannot be forced to use Piracy Shield to block IPTV, court tells Serie A. Despite providing a range of services for free that millions have come to rely on, and others that improve security and uptime for millions more, not everyone views Cloudflare's key products as universally positive. In Italy, where it took just a couple of weeks for the Piracy Shield blocking system and Cloudflare to start bumping heads, the reasons for the conflict are on full display. Running from its core through to every product it develops, Cloudflare's mission is to enable and protect online connectivity. Okay, that's a fair way of saying that. I don't know. Some of this stuff's a little, it's like blow a little more smoke up there. But at least toward Cloudflare's direction. In this article, it's very, it's kind of one-sided here. And I have my opinions about Cloudflare. I mean, as a service, they're fine. But they pump a lot of website traffic through their services for free. They're funding that. Somehow.
We all know how, Morbs.
Just something to keep in mind. Piracy Shield's mission to disrupt or terminate the connectivity of IPTV series services is exactly the opposite. Friction was inevitable, as it began as predicted. A Cloudflare IP address was added to the Piracy Shield system, resulting in the instant overblocking of innocent sites, just as experts had warned time and time again. Yet, despite innocent Cloudflare customers paying for that blunder with their own connectivity, the ability to continue blocking without causing further collateral damage exposed Piracy Shield's limitations, and for that, Cloudflare received the blame. With Piracy Shield barely 2 months old, on April 3rd, 2024, Serie A filed a complaint against Cloudflare at the Court of Milan. Cloudflare's services protect all who sign up for them, but while most customers are law-abiding, a minority or not, when IPTV providers use Cloudflare services, they not only achieve greater anonymity like any other user, the platform becomes much more difficult for Piracy Shield to block. Serie A wants the situation brought to an end. The Football League used colorful drug-dealing analogies to paint a picture of Cloudflare providing pirate match dealers and their users with a dealing room and the exit routes to evade capture. minus the imagery. Series A claims boil down to the same thing. Cloudflare services greatly assist pirates, making anti-piracy measures much less effective. And Cloudflare won't take the type of action Series A believes it should. So, yeah, Cloudflare is effectively proxying or front-ending a lot of these web services. And they don't really have any... well, you know, I say that, but they have kicked websites off before because they found them offensive. Like, yeah. The big one, of course, being the White National group that they did a couple of years ago.
Stormfront.
Yeah, Stormfront.
Really shitty weather information.
It's like, I don't know, I thought this was a weather website, but all it is about how to light, you know, how to harm black... anyways, I'm going to stop that joke right now. It's not going anywhere. But yeah, so Cloudflare has... Cloudflare are not angels in this, you know.
No.
But they're a front-ending service. They're effectively a reverse proxy service. Excuse me. And because there's lots of things going through there, you block one Cloudflare IP, and you've probably blocked thousands of websites that are going through that IP system. And probably inconsistently, as the next time you load the DNS, you might get a different IP that's not blocked, and now the website's working again. So that's probably maddening to try to figure out what's going on. Yeah. And it's literally, the Serie A is complaining that they're pirating football league matches. Now, I know that these sport matches get to be big money. And a lot of these streaming things, like the Olympics, was a big deal about who could stream it, who couldn't, and, you know, always trying to control that. That's always a thing. ESPN's real big about that. Of course, the different sports leagues all have these real lucrative contracts about who gets to provide the coverage. But
it's, yeah, and the real smart ones actually have it on their TV or whatever they provide it with, and then a day later we'll put it up on YouTube as to garner extra support for people who would, you know, would like to watch the match, but just aren't into it that much. They're willing to unload $60 a month in cable fees.
Yeah.
The National Rugby League here in Australia, they used to be real litigious and stuff like that with their Foxtel digital sport model. You know, it came, you got the sport for free if you paid for the cable. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
You had to pay for 30 other channels of shit just to watch the football on the weekend. And, you know, that people are cutting the cable. They can't afford it. And so they were seeing their numbers drop off, so they started popping it up on YouTube, you know, 2 days after the match had happened. And they're doing big numbers on YouTube.
Oh, I'll bet.
So I've watched a few matches that I was barely interested in at the time, but I had an hour and a half to kill. Hey, might as well chuck it on the second monitor and, you know, catch up with some sports balls so that way I have something to talk to my old man about, you know?
Yeah, sure. The several different TV networks have figured out that game and have started posting clips of their shows like a day later.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, especially if you're just not that interested in it, but you'd like to catch up with it because, A, you're finding it harder and harder to communicate with people on the outside world that doesn't talk about anything but the tech or things like that.
Or B, you're not caught all the way up into watching, you know, whatever TikTok feed all day long. So
yeah,
that's the other end of the spectrum. Well, where the like, oh, did you see this one? Did you see that one? No.
The good part about TikTok people is that you can't talk to them anyway. They're so scatological. Like, they just can't stay on topic for more than 30 seconds. You know, that's if they can barely make eye contact or want to look at the ground and shuffle their shoes around constantly.
I fucking hate that you pointed out to me about people fondling their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see that.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it, right?
I see it everywhere now.
Uh-huh. Imagine what it was like for me when I first spotted it a couple years ago. I'm like, this is getting real fucking creepy. You know, and then...
Well, it's once like, you know, you said, where's your phone? When you said to me, no, right now, where's your phone? And I'm like, it's on the desk, on the stand. And you're like, so it's not in your hands. I'm like, no.
And once you see it, you'll never unsee it, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody just in there. Well, and not only that, I started seeing it. So we were talking about, this is what got me thinking about it. you know, you had mentioned, you know, Gutfeld. Well, that's one of the ones that they're posting clips of, like, you know, a day or two later on YouTube. Because I watched a couple to kind of catch up on it. And how many of his guests have their fucking phones in their hands the whole time?
Uh-huh.
Like, people on TV have their fucking phones in their hands the whole time.
And they can't fucking... Yeah, it's just so annoying. And then you start thinking about the mental aspect of that. And what happens if you take that away from them? You know, their blankie is gone. They, you know, start feeling really insecure. And if you've been doing this behavior since day dot, it's not something new to you, you're going to have a hell of a time with your hands when you don't actually have a phone.
Well, you know what I mean? One of the stories...
Insecurity, man.
One of the stories I saw when I was looking for stuff for decking tonight was... about how schools are starting to say you can't use your phones in class. And I'm thinking, when the fuck did that change? You could never use your phone in class when I was in school. Hell, they didn't want you to play with the damn calculator too much.
And, well, I know the calculators weren't allowed when I was at school, but that's me dating myself because I don't think phones were invented when I was at school.
Well, they hadn't figured out that we had programmed games on the calculators yet, so...
I think when I first started working, the Nokia phone was the big one.
Yeah.
You know, the one that...
the one everybody says is indestructible, though it is
not. Yeah, that one was probably, was really starting to kick off, but I mean, it, I was of the era of car phones, man.
I remember seeing some car phones.
You'd be on a construction site, and all you'd hear is car horns all fucking day, because that's the only way you could hear your car phone ring is if a horn went off on your car.
Yeah.
So it was just horns fucking blaring all day. But in saying that, you know, if you had one of the first handheld ones, like, you know, the bricks that were the Nokia brick, that I think they're about half a foot long, 2 inches wide.
Didn't have one of them. Dad did have one of those Motorola phones that it hooked into the truck. And yeah. It had this huge support thing that, you know, blocked an air vent. And I'm thinking, oh, that's fucking dumb. But he said that's the only place they could install it. But it had then this box that went with the phone mount, like, you know, strapped in under the back seat kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's this big thing that was hooked into Dad's truck. And it was basically one of those Motorolas where you could flip down the little thing, the mouthpiece. Yeah. And, but, you know, it would then hook into this dock. It was like this whole process of docking this thing into the truck. And the antenna was now the one on the in the truck instead of the one on the phone, and just all this stuff. And, okay, honestly, I kind of missed that. I think that was awesome to have, like, this system that would, you know, hook in.
Dude, there was an entry-level barrier to this tech. One, it cost a fortune, and two, you had to be mildly technically savvy to fucking work it.
Why do you think I'm enjoying ham radio? Because both of those apply.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, back to the story.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Cloudflare. The existence of the Serie A complaint wasn't revealed until the end of May when La Repubblica broke the story. But even then, when what Serie A hoped to achieve under... and under what legislation still wasn't made clear. The Court of Milan's decision, dated Monday, August the 5th, was reported by Cloudflare's Italian legal team, fills in most of the gaps. In early July, DAZN said it should be, quote, mandatory for so-called intermediaries of electronic communication services, which allow pirates to hide from Piracy Shield platforms through their services, must be obligated to register with the platform. Or register with this platform, unquote. Cloudflare wasn't mentioned by name, but DAZN already knew what Serie A had demanded because the company and other interested parties were directly involved. So basically, they were saying, no, Cloudflare has to participate. Cloudflare must be forced by law to block IPs of websites we don't like. Now, those websites are largely involved in streaming IPTV and video piracy, but they're still saying we should control what websites are allowed in this country. Because that's ultimately what they're wanting the power to do. Ostensibly for anti-piracy, but at the end of the day, they are asking for the ability to censor the internet.
Yep.
Siri A's argument that Cloudflare should be compelled by court order to participate in the Piracy Shield blocking program received support from interveners DAZN, Siri B, and Sky Italia. Cloudflare was represented by LMS Studio Legal, and the law firm's announcement this week revealed good news for Cloudflare. Oh, I can't say these names. Luvacchito Ansimelli and Giuseppe Cardona, partners at LMS Studio Legal, successfully assisted Cloudflare, an American company providing security services for internet sites, in precautionary proceedings brought before the Court of Milan by Lega Siri A, with the intervention of Lega Siri B, DAZN, and Sky Italia, the law firm said. The appeal aimed to obtain an order to register Cloudflare on the Piracy Shield platform established by AGCOM, as well as injunctive measures regarding the alleged provision of Cloudflare services to sites that had allegedly disseminated without authorization images of football matches on which the appellate claimed related rights. So, yep, soccer games.
Yep.
I guess everybody else does call that football, but I'm American.
I don't care either way.
America.
Yeah, they've got a lot of pull. The FIFA have got a lot of pull, like NFL.
Yeah.
NHL, you know, they pretty much bow down. The lawmakers bow down to whatever the fuck they want. Because at the end of the day, sports gambling makes them a shit ton of money.
Well, apparently not in this case. The decision handed down by the Court of Milan's specialized section denied Siri A's first request after finding that the power to impose registration to Piracy Shield sits beyond the scope of powers assigned to the court. The second claim, reportedly relating to Cloudflare's behavior, was also dismissed. According to LMS, the judges said that the matter should have been heard in a trial on the merits. Whether Siri A intends to take further action is currently unknown, but it's clear that the influential football league can rely on support from AGCOM, including when the regulator meets with Cloudflare in September. Cloudflare was also mentioned in the Chamber of Deputies, the lower house of parliament, last month in connection with Piracy Shield. The extract below, okay, suggests the commentary may include a veiled threat. I'm not going to read that. But, yeah, so it's not done. But this first court case, they're like, yeah, we don't have jurisdiction over them. We can't force them to join your anti-piracy system. Sorry. I think that's great. Now, the reason I think that is great is not because, woohoo, sticking it to the pirate or to the anti-pirate people, although I don't have much love for them either. It's because the legal issues around websites, website hosting, content, what's allowed and what's not, is only going to get more and more confusing as we go on. And with stuff like Cloudflare and VPNs and proxy systems, the level of control some places are trying to implement is just not really going to be a thing. You know, with the old saying, the internet routes around censorship like it's damage to the network, right?
Yeah.
So when you start trying to put controls over things, assuming the thing you're trying to control is motivated not to be controlled and not just accept it, and I put that caveat in there for a reason, mainly social networks, you're not actually going to be able to do it because there's always going to be a way to get around that control. Whether it is going through something like a Cloudflare, great, now your traffic is mixed in with thousands of other websites and you can't block this without blocking them. Or if it's through a VPN service where, you know, it's, you know, your traffic now looks like it's coming from somewhere else in the world and what's going through the VPN service is encrypted and they can't monitor it to block websites. Or if there's some other reverse proxy out there, that was what the Pirate Bay was doing for the longest time, is they would just have proxy web services set up that all they did was accept the connection and forward it onto the main site. That kind of stuff is really hard to actually stop.
Look, I envision that they will clamp down as hard as they can, That'll make it so hard for the average person who isn't a power user they'll just be forced to sign a subscription. They'll force them over that way. The rest of us will scurry around every time the fucking lights come on to find a new proxy or something like that. And the game will just go on.
Well, sure, it's a cat and mouse game. It's the same. It's actually the same problem you have from the network security side, because a lot of your we'll say attackers use a lot of the same tactics to hide on the internet. Yeah. And Cloudflare provides a legitimate service. Now, as we said at the beginning of the show, I have some concerns about some of the things they do. But if you're a commercial company needing that kind of anti-DDoS and content, you know, distribution, you know, there's only a handful of companies that really do it well.
Cloudflare, Akamai. Most well-known.
Yeah, Cloudflare and Akamai is pretty much it when it comes to these kind of controls. And I will tell you, from personal experience, both of them are good. If you use the web application filters and firewall stuff that they provide, they work.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they wouldn't be in business if they didn't.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying is the thing does what it says on the tin. I worry about what else it might be doing, but it does. They do what they say on the tin. And, you know, part of that legitimate service is that that service could be used, you might say abused, to get around things like this piracy shield. Because, again, you're, you know, mixing in with things that are legitimate, and you can't block it because then you block all this other stuff you shouldn't block. And then the question becomes, do the anti-piracy people get so zealous that it's like, well, we don't care if we break 1,000 other websites as long as we prevent one piracy website? And if that's, you know, to play the game out logically, maybe you should let people see what the ultimate control is.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, and I put the caveat in there about motivation, because you do see a lot of people who get kicked off of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and they just take it. They're just like, okay, well, I'll be banned for a week and then I'll come back or whatever, you know, and or you know, they sincerely apologize for their behavior. And it's like, really? You gonna fucking do that? I guess if it's a business, I get that, but
I mean, as a business, what the fuck do you say that you have to apologize for? Just sell what you're selling and fucking move on.
Well, but
I don't care what your opinions are on social matters.
Well, that is that thing. You know, most
what I mean. You don't have to apologize if you're just selling fucking bolts. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think most businesses should stay the fuck out of politics. It's like, look, you know, the side that you're pissing off probably wants to buy your product too.
I think John Deere learned the hard way with that.
Oh yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, businesses, just stay in your own fucking lane, sell product, invent next product, and fucking keep going. There is nothing to see here. Politics is for politicians, fucking, and comedians to fuck around with. You don't need to be involved.
If you've got a mob in business, if you've got a mob coming, if you don't show support for our thing, we're going to boycott you. Let them boycott you. It's going to be small. Yeah, nobody's going to fucking
know. They don't buy your shit anyway.
Most of the time, the comic industry. Yeah, most of the time. It's when you give in to those assholes that you piss off a large group of people who will boycott you, a la Bud Light. That's when you want to watch out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just stay the fuck out of politics. But
I mean, if you're a business and you're having to apologize, man, I don't want to go to your business.
Well, but again, the point was, some people, I guess, just aren't that motivated to get around those kind of censorships or controls. So you have to be fairly motivated, and most pirates are fairly motivated. So.
Oh yeah.
And you have a handful of social types who, you know, they get kicked off one channel, they show up on another and show up on another, and, you know. So
it wasn't for YouTube's over fucking policing of speech, things like that, we wouldn't have Rumble. We wouldn't have Odyssey. You know, these places became big because of YouTube's overzealous fucking on their content selection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where your censorship gets you. Or go make your own company. All right. whoa, 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 you can't do that. What the fuck are you doing over there? You know what I mean? So I think sometimes censorship creates interesting things.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're not, I mean, I don't think anybody's arguing that, oh, well, this horribly illegal content, we all know what horribly illegal content on the internet is. Take your pick.
Go after that before you go after movies, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I don't think you're going to get many arguments from people saying, oh, no, you should leave that up.
It depends on what people you're talking to these days. If you've got somebody, that's the worst part about it.
Look, if you've got somebody saying that should be allowed to be left up, that person needs to be turned into the police. It's like, you want somebody to denounce, go after the... I don't even want
to. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And I... Maybe... Yeah, just go after that. I was going to say go after porn, but fuck it. I don't care about porn. Not my thing. I'm not into it. If you're into it, you're into it.
As long as the porn's not horrible illegal shit, I don't care. If it's horrible illegal shit, you know, I hope you're disemboweled with a garden trowel.
There we go. And that's enough said on that.
All
right, next story.
Wow, we went all over the place for a story about Cloudflare winning a case in Italy.
It's amazing what motivation you can have when you're short for stories, your host is sick, and Madman's decided to go AFK.
Next article is one that RU sent me. It's from Canberra Times. Kim.com, to be extra... Say what?
Canberra,
okay. That's that American education system showing through there. Kim.com. I tried to say Canberra.com. I've been using...
It's probably a porn site.
I've been using bourbon as cough medicine. Kim.com to be extradited after 12-year fight with the U.S. I kind of forgot about this guy, to be honest.
Hey, man, he still has, I think, 2 gig of files that the FBI took from me.
Kim.com.
From Mega Upload.
Oh, God, that was forever ago.
I know, that's where this trial's coming from, man.
And the sad thing is, Mega Upload didn't do anything different from Google Drive or Dropbox.
No, they were just better. That was the thing, they were better and free.
Kim.com, who's facing criminal charges related to the defunct file-sharing site Mega Upload, will be extradited to the United States from New Zealand, the new New Zealand Justice Minister says. Germanborn.com, who has a New Zealand residency, has been fighting extradition to the United States since 2012 following an FBI-ordered raid on his Auckland mansion. Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith signed an extradition order for .com, a spokesperson said on Thursday. Quote, I consider all of the information carefully and have decided that Mr. .com should be surrendered to the U.S. to face trial, unquote, Goldsmith said in a statement. Quote, as is common practice, I have allowed Mr. .com a short period of time to consider and take advice on my decision. I will not, therefore, be commenting further at this stage, unquote. In a post on social media website X on Tuesday, .com said, quote, the obedient U.S. colony in the South Pacific just decided to extradite me for what users uploaded to Mega Upload, unquote, in what appeared to be a reference to the extradition order. Reuters could not immediately reached .com for a response, but following the announcement, he posted on X that he loves, I quote, I love New Zealand, I'm not leaving, unquote, and quote, don't worry, I have a plan, unquote. Oh God, he somehow got the rubber pants and the monkey.
Maybe he's going to do a McCafferty and fucking run off into the bush and build his own fucking super meth lab.
Yeah, because that worked out so well for McAfee.
Well, McAfee's still running around somewhere.
He died.
I don't believe that motherfucker's dead.
4 years ago.
I don't believe it. Like, you can't kill McCafferty.
They had his body.
Fuck, have you tried uninstalling his fucking software?
They're always watching. They had his body, though. Pretty sure fucker's dead.
Yeah, he probably is, but I like to think. I like to think he's out there banging whores, doing coke.
I mean, I still have my Don't Vote for John McAfee for President 2020 coffee mug. That's like one of my favorite coffee mugs. Because it looks real authoritarian too, but it's saying don't vote. It's great. U.S. authorities say .com and three other mega upload executives cost film studios and record companies more than $500 million by encouraging paying users to store and share copyrighted material, which generated more than $175 million in revenue for the website. More than $500 million. Let's be honest. Do we really think, you got to think 12 years ago, so, you know, 2010 timeline.
Yep.
Do you really think Mega Upload cost them $500 million in film and record sales?
No, because if I remember correctly how it worked, it was just a URL that was given to you after you uploaded it. You couldn't put a title on it or anything. So there was no way that it was easily shared for piracy unless you had a movie morph, so you uploaded a Mega Upload, then you IM'd me the fucking URL, and then I could download the movie from there.
Well, like, I'm sure there were websites aggregating Mega Upload links and things like that. Of course, Pastebin and shit like that. But I mean,
back in 2010, that was not the way you did piracy, man. I'm telling you right now. It was more convenient just to use one of these streaming websites or torrent it back then.
Yeah, torrenting was still a big thing. I think the main one. Hell, a lot of people were still using LimeWire and shit like that.
Exactly. And so this bullshit about Mega Upload, it is bullshit.
I'm just trying to figure out because that number seems really fucking high for Mega Upload. I mean, are they honestly counting any time somebody might have clicked on, fuck, I don't even know what a movie from that time would have been, you know, as a movie ticket sale, is the $30?
I'm just saying, I doubt it was really used that much for piracy that way.
Or are they using the statutory, you know, copyright infringement number to get that number? Because I remember suing websites for more money than existed. Because of that statutory fine.
But I can't recall, but it's not actually, that's not what got him into trouble with the American authorities. Kim.com fucking said something or did something. It had nothing to do with his website at the time.
They said he had a bunch of documents that people had put up, though. This is pre-WikiLeaks. Actually, I think what happened to Mega Upload was one of the inspirations for starting WikiLeaks.
Okay, I knew there was some reason the American government wanted him. That's why he fled to New Zealand.
Yeah, they thought he had documents that had been uploaded to Mega Upload, but he didn't have access WikiLeaks to the back end. He couldn't go pull files out of there without knowing the URL.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew it. This is something bigger than piracy.
I'd have to Google it and go find it. But I vaguely remember something like that because I remember Mega Upload going away was one of the things that got WikiLeaks started.
Yeah, I'll slap an asterisk next to that, and I'll get back to you next week.
Yeah, this is memory from 12 years ago, and I've slept since then.
Yeah, so, and I drink.
We all drink.
And listen to Morps' corporate whinging.
Yeah.
That's my professional job now.
Yeah, well, have you seen what the actual therapists cost? Holy shit.
I know, they're expensive. I wanted to be one.
I've got two.
And then I figured out you had to listen to people's shit all day.
I've got multiple coaches provided by various things. They're not therapists, and mostly they're just responding to IMs with a script.
Yeah. But
sure, why not? I mean, okay, you know the opening of Cyberpunk 2027, if you take the corpo path and you've got the life coach calling you and testing you and telling you about your health and all this other shit? That's kind of what I feel like in my regular J job at times, man.
Yeah.
They signed me up for leadership training coaching, and oh my fucking God. So the person given the presentation had a nose ring and a pair of leopard print how dare you glasses.
Yeah, I just would have fucking noped out of that straight away.
And every slide was, had all of the stock photos on the slides you could tell somebody had put the effort in to make sure they were sufficiently diverse.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my God. How much are they paying this consultancy? Because it's not worth it. Back to the article. The company's chief marketing officer, Finn Batato, and chief technical officer and co-founder Matthias Orthman, both from Germany, along with a third executive, Dutch national Bram van der Kolk, were arrested with .com in 2012. Orthman and van der Kolk entered a plea deals that resulted in them being sentenced in 2023 to jail terms in New Zealand, but allowed them to avoid extradition. Batato died in 2022 in New Zealand. Don't say what he died of.
He died suddenly.
Well, given the age of some of these people involved, might not have been weird.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you got to remember, people who are just getting started on the internet are starting to age out. Like, you go on Hacker News, and you're seeing a lot of the early developers of stuff dying off, and it's like, fuck, getting old.
Developer of so-and-so program turns 65 this week. You're like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. Or, you know, when you realize, like, some of your favorite games are 40 years old. It's just like, the fuck?
It's like, you realize you're around for the mega upload fucking controversy.
Huh?
And you remember you were around for the mega upload controversy. Yeah. That was, what, 12 years ago, man?
Yeah.
It feels like yesterday.
We were doing decking 12 years ago.
I know.
Good God, what's wrong with me that we're still doing this? And we're not doing it on, like, you know, one of the modern platforms with an audience. We're still fucking streaming over Shoutcast.
Because we as professionals.
It's a professional radio station.
Fuck it, if it works, stick with it, right?
Fair enough.
Are we done with that one?
Yeah, we're done with that one. Let's do the Disney one.
Oh, this will be uplifting. It's about Disney. It's families, fun, and entertainment.
Well, this is classic Pure Decking story selection of how depressed can I get or you? I want to make sure he drinks tonight.
You don't need to talk to me for that to happen, Morps.
But you're not going to deny that it helps.
No, it helps.
This one's from NBC News. Headline, Disney says man can't sue over wife's death because he agreed to Disney Plus terms of service. It's like, literally, Disney is taking the click wrap approach for the fact that the dude's wife died.
Oof.
It's like, fuck.
Yep.
Disney is trying to have a widower's wrongful death lawsuit dismissed and sent to arbitration because the man had signed up for a Disney Plus account several years ago. Jeffrey J. Piccolo sued Disney Parks and Resorts in February, months after his wife, Dr. Kankaporn Sansung, died after she consumed food containing allergens at a restaurant in Disney World. Piccolo said in the complaint that he, his wife, and his mother went to dinner at Ragland Road Irish Pub and Restaurant at the resort in Orlando, Florida, October the 5th. They asked several times whether Sansung's allergies could be accommodated, according to the complaint, despite the server having assured them, Sansung had a severe allergic reaction and died at a local hospital, the complaint said. So it's like a peanut allergy or something, right? So she said she can't have peanuts, and, like, actually the real allergy, not just the people who claim they've got a gluten allergy or something, right?
No, the one where you touch peanut, throat swells up within 30 seconds, and you're struggling to breathe after a minute.
Right. I'm assuming, because she died from it, so I'm assuming it's one of those kind of allergies, like the shellfish allergy where you can't breathe because your throat is closed up. But it was an Irish pub, so that's why I was saying peanut or something. I don't think they ever say what her food allergy was.
No, I don't think so either.
Disney filed court documents in May saying the $50,000 lawsuit. The dude's wife died and he only sued for $50,000?
I didn't read the article because I thought it was a meme article at first.
It kind of is, but holy shit. Disney filed court documents in May saying the $50,000 lawsuit should be dismissed and resolved by individual arbitration because of terms Piccolo agreed to when he signed up for a free trial of the streaming service Disney Plus. The film also says he accepted the same terms when he used the Walt Disney Parks website to buy tickets. So that's the real... They're saying when he bought the tickets to the park, the same terms were in there. So why bring up the Disney Plus at all? Did the lawyers...
It's a threat.
Yeah.
It's a threat. That's what that is. It's like, anybody else thinking of fucking suing Disney? You ever had a Disney account? Fuck you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's what it is. That's a threat, man.
So now here's the real question.
Look how easily we can dismiss your life.
How many companies are now going to go look to buy some mid-level website that a lot of people have signed up to so they can buy the terms of agreement and put everybody in a binding arbitration clause for anything to do with their company because they signed up on some website at one point?
Yeah. There's a lot of them going to be changing their EULAs, adding, you know, death to it. You know, you can't sue. Why not? If Disney's going to get away with it, why wouldn't other companies do it?
Fucking shrink wrap agreement, though. Lawyers for the company said that users have to select checkboxes that hyperlink to the terms of use, as well as another that says they agree. Users cannot select agree and continue if the boxes are not checked, the filing says. The filing includes a copy of the terms and conditions, a section titled Disney Terms of Use that says any dispute between you and us, except for small claims, is subject to class action waiver and must be resolved by individual binding arbitration. Disney's lawyers and attorney for Piccolo did not immediately respond to requests to comment Wednesday. Okay, I'm going to say right now before I go any further with this story, I don't see, honestly, how the binding arbitration clause in a lot of these things is actually legal. You're basically...
I'm not a lawyer, so I couldn't tell you.
We need a proper lawyer for this because to me... You can't sign a contract waiving certain rights.
Is it bad I had a Nick Ricciardo joke lined up when you said we need a lawyer?
No, he's fucked up his life sufficiently to be made fun of.
I don't want to be anywhere near that fucking cunt. Anyway, I just thought it was amusing.
But it's one of these things where it is like if I was to sign an agreement. I'm trying to think how to explain this. There are certain rights that you actually cannot legally give up. Now, it's not all of them, strangely enough, but there are certain ones it's in the law that you know clarifies them that you cannot give them up in a legal agreement. And your ability to bring lawsuit against another party, I think, is one of them. I'd need to double check that. I'm not a lawyer, and it's been forever since I've Googled this stuff. But I think that's one of those rights that's hard to like divest yourself from. It's sort of like a non-disparagement agreement. You can't actually sign a thing giving up your freedom of speech. You're signing an agreement that there will be consequences if you say certain things. You're signing an agreement to not say something in exchange for money or whatever. That's what a binding arbitration is. You don't give up your freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You can still say it. You're just assigning consequences to saying it. So, yeah, this binding arbitration thing is weird. Disney lawyers and attorney for Piccolo did not immediately respond to a request for comment Wednesday. Piccolo's lawyers filed a response earlier this month, slamming Disney's reasoning for seeking a dismissal as preposterous. They said he signed up for a Disney Plus account on his PlayStation, but he believed he canceled it during the free trial. Quote, there is simply no reading of the Disney Plus subscriber agreement which would support the notion that Mr. Piccolo agreed to arbitrate claims arising from injuries sustained by his wife at a restaurant located on premises owned by a Disney theme park, which ultimately led to her death, the attorney said. They went on to say that the notion that the terms agreed to by a consumer when creating a free Disney Plus trial account would forever bar that consumer's right to a jury trial in any dispute is so outrageously unreasonable and unfair. His lawyers asked the court not to enforce the arbitration. And actually think about that for a second too. Okay, he signed up for the account and canceled it. And they're still saying, oh, no, you're still held by this. And any changes they've made to that agreement since. So that's the scary part to me, is they think that, okay, even though he's canceled, you know, even if he canceled it during the free trial, no, you're still held by it. You still agreed to these terms and change it, any changes we've made to it between now and then. Because almost all of these say that they are, you know, subject to change without notice. So, I mean, if that's utter madness, that they can change the agreement after you no longer have the service, and you're held by the changes that they make.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I honestly don't see how any of that could hold up in an honest court. I just don't.
That's the house of mouse for you, man. They'll fuck you any way they can get to.
Yeah. Piccolo accused the Florida resort and a restaurant of negligence in his wife's death. He said in his complaint that they told the server at Ragland Road that Sang-sung, who is a physician at the NYU Langone Health, had severe allergies. The server told the family that the food would be made allergy-free, according to the complaint. The family ordered their meals and ate the guest food when the dishes came out without allergen-free flags. The complaint says they were once again assured by the server, it says. Not long after having eaten, Sang-sung began having trouble breathing, went into a nearby restaurant, and collapsed. The complaint said she was having severe acute allergic reaction to the food served at Ragland. Sang-sung used her EpiPen to help stop her allergic reaction, while a bystander called 911, the complaint said. Her husband, who had gone back to their hotel room, was unaware of what was happening, it says. When Piccolo called his wife's cell phone, a bystander answered and told him she'd been taken to the hospital. According to the complaint, when he arrived, he was told she had died. Fuck. No wonder he's suing Disney. The guilt that must be on that man's conscience.
Only 50 grand worth of guilt, though, Morps.
Yeah. The medical examiner's autopsy report cites a complaint said Sang-sung died from anaphylactic shock and had elevated levels of nut and dairy in her system. Her death resulted in an accident. Nut and dairy, so it was one of the two.
Yep.
The suit, which names the restaurant Disney Parks and Resorts as defendant, seeks $50,000 in damages. That's a lawyer number. That's a funerary costs and kind of thing number. So somebody said, no, you don't sue them for a ridiculous number. That's how you get a case dismissed. It's like you're looking for reasonable costs.
What's the reasonable cost of a life?
Well, there isn't one, but you can do the cost of the funeral. You can do the cost of arrangements. You can try to throw pain and suffering in there. You know, your pain of having lost your wife, but that's a hard sell. But I'm just imagining, you know, the dude goes back to the hotel because he's tired. And then when his wife doesn't show up after a while, calls her and finds out she's dead. I mean, it's like, holy shit.
It's a hell of a Tuesday.
Yep. All right, we're going to skip that one for time.
Dojo.
Do you want to go straight to Dojo? We've got the two. I can quickly cover this one.
I was just thinking of your voice, man. It's going downhill quick.
I know. I'm almost out. I'm out of bourbon. That's why.
You need a helper monkey. And a little monkey that go down and serve you drinks.
That'd be great. Or get the butter robot to fix a drink.
Well, the only reason I say the help, you haven't seen Monkey Shines, have you?
No.
That what's the one you're paralyzed from the neck down? Quadriplegic?
Well, quadriplegic. Sure.
Whichever one. He can't move his arms. He gets a helper monkey.
Yeah.
And the helper monkey becomes murderous.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You're stuck in a wheelchair with a monkey that wants to murder you.
Was that the one with at the end where the monkey jumps out of the guy's back?
I haven't seen it for a long time, so I'd have to go, I don't know.
Oh, I think that was that. Yeah, because he tried to kill himself a couple of times. We have seen that one.
Yeah, I'm sure I showed it.
Yeah, because they had that jump scare at the end that got all of us on the channel.
Yeah.
We were watching it, like three of us went, ah!
Yeah, it's a great movie.
2.9 billion records, including social security numbers stolen in a hack. So this is from USA Today. It's being covered all over the place. Yeah, where was it? Enormous amount of social security numbers and other sensitive information for millions of people could be in the hands of a hacking group after a data breach and may have been released on their online marketplace. The hacking group USDOD claims that it allegedly stole the personal records of 2.9 billion people from National Public Data. National Public Data is one of these data broker companies that basically works with the government. And you're looking at, where's the list of stuff? Name, address, address history, relatives, and social security numbers dating back at least 3 decades.
AM.
For almost 3 billion people.
Then you go
well, 3 billion records. You might have duplicates in there.
I was going to say.
But, yeah, that's a bad time. Yeah, who is National Public Data? Florida-based background check company operated by Jericho Pictures, Inc. USA Today reached out for them for comment. Company has not publicly confirmed data breach, but the Los Angeles Times reported it has been telling people who contacted via email, quote, we are aware of certain third-party claims about customer data and are investigating these issues, i.e. the lawyers told us not to say shit.
Yep.
All right, let's do this. What I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is awesome. The URL is a little rough. d07riv.github.io/DiabloWeb. This is hosted in github.io, a playable version of Diablo 1 in your web browser. You can get the MPQ file from the full game, select it in your browser, and play the full game. They've got the shareable one managed right there. Doesn't appear to have any multiplayer, which is unfortunate. But they've got, you know, he's got a link to his GitHub, where basically he took the source code for Devolution, recompiled it in WebAssembly, cleaned it up, and he's got it running in the browser under the JS model. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely play it even on like a mobile device, because it just any web browser that'll do WebAssembly, you can play Diablo. The multiplayer doesn't seem to work. We were playing with it earlier, and it throws an error. But it totally works. I played probably about 10, 15 minutes worth of the Diablo shareware earlier today when I found the link. So I think that's awesome.
Yep, I do too. The Diablo is getting up there with Doom. Will it run?
Well, actually, for the longest time, it wouldn't. A lot of the early Blizzard games wouldn't render with correct colors on anything above Windows XP. So
that's why I've got an XP machine.
Yep. So, anyways, that's all I've got. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, pure decking every Thursday. Although, arguably, we should have skipped tonight from the sound of my voice. I can hear it. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, Cykros, myself, Sardonyx, and she. Are you closing thoughts?
I hope your voice gets a little better, because you're starting to sound like a phone sex operator, and that is quite creepy.
And what are you wearing?
Gross.
Yep. All right. That's it. I did the closer. We're done.
Yep. Done.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Ma'am, sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.